Good morning. Welcome to our Thursday Open Line. I'm your host, Brian Bowes, and we've got a full program to bring you today with split hosts. I have to head on down to Wenatchee as soon as this first segment is done. Later on in the hour, Chris will be talking with some folks from the support center. But first up, I drew the short straw, and or maybe the long. I don't depends how you look at it. I mean, it's going to be fun. We have OMAC School Superintendent Michael Porter, and is it police chief or chief of police?
Either one works. Yes.
Dan Christensen from OMAC.
Do you want to start over?
But I'm just done. Anyway, welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Talking about a very important thing, and really an item that hopefully can create a partnership, too, between the school and the police force. So.
Correct. Yes. Yeah, we are here to once again talk about our schools and our school levy that's going to be running. And everybody knows that there were the pamphlets had been sent out last week, and we have the information on the voting, and then our trifold was sent out as well that gave lots of information.
I'm showing it to them.
Yep, I see that they can see it through the microphone. Yes, that's perfect. And in the trifold, we explained what the EPNO levy is, Educational Programs and Operation Levy, and what it funds and supports. And the great thing is the ballots have already been delivered to everybody. And the next step, which is the most important step, is get those ballots in the mail. I know myself, I have forgotten in the past where I just leave it in my pile of mail. I'm like, oh, no, and last minute get it in. So I just wanted to do a quick reminder to all the listeners, hey, make sure to throw that thing in the mail. And there's a couple different places where you can drop it off. It doesn't just have to be the post office. And that's all listed on the trifold. But yes, we're really excited about this. And I had a meeting with the Okanagan County superintendents yesterday. We have a monthly meeting and talk about some of the challenges in each of our schools. And the levy was at the top of the list for everybody because most of the schools throughout our community, throughout our county, are running an EPNO levy this February. And there are 295 districts in the state of Washington, and all of them except six run an EPNO levy. Those six are really, really small districts, and the funding they would generate just isn't worth the cost of running it. But this EPNO levy is critical to school funding because there's three main sources that come into schools. One is the state apportionment, which that basically is based on your student numbers. How many students you have is how much money you receive from the state. And then the other big stream of money is from the federal government. And that's often focused on our special ed students and a few competitive grants, that provide support for kids with after school activities and such. And then the third one is this EPNO levy. The great thing with OMAC's EPNO levy is that we are asking our voters to support the levy, and it would raise just under $2 million, right around $2 million over the 4 years. Each year it's approximately $2 million. But it also triggers, if the voters say yes to supporting that $2 million, it triggers something called local effort assistance. And that's a way that the state kind of balances the schools across the whole state so that there's approximately equal funding. And so with this LEA money, we get an additional $10 million per year. So if we pass the voters say yes to this $1.75 rate, then that would then approve this release from the state of another $10 million. And that money is critical because it supports things such as our building facilities maintenance. It also supports some additional staff that we have, such as our nurses, custodians, maintenance, some paraeducators. Also, we've been working towards a school resource officer, which I'll have the chief talk about here in just a minute. Those dollars are critical in supporting curriculum. So we adopted a new reading curriculum last year, which we're really excited about, and we're going to be adopting a new math curriculum this year in the process of going through that. And our community is always welcome. We have open books. We're trying to be transparent. And so anytime anybody wants to come see our books or see our curriculum, they're always welcome to do that. Just have to call or stop in, and we'll show it to you.
So for an oversimplification, yes, and not really a spot-on analogy, but where can you invest $1.75 per thousand and get a $10 million return on your investment? In a way, I mean, that's kind of
right.
What you're doing.
Right, so, it's very true.
Yeah.
Very
wow.
True.
Okay, and to ensure a bright future, that we have young people who are being properly, not just properly educated, but prepared.
Absolutely.
For life, because this money doesn't just talk about reading, writing, arithmetic.
That's
it talks
right.
about so many other things
right.
that will equip
right.
young people.
Those, and those extracurricular activities are so important.
Yeah.
The things that are after school, our athletic program, our math is cool clubs, those really hook kids to wanting to come to school because it's something that is they're personally invested in. Sometimes we all know you're going through school. There's times where it's like, I don't like going to school. You know, you're just not happy about it. But what draws... Yeah, but what draws you in is those extracurricular activities, and these funds support that. They provide the funding for it.
And we are complaining a lot because there are not enough skilled workers for the
right.
trade industry.
Yes, yes.
Your CTE program
yes.
is, I think, becoming more and more vital to helping
it
to fix that. So
yes.
this is part of that as well.
It absolutely is. And what's great is to see how our CTE program has continued to evolve and improve in OMAC. And we have programs now in place that are nationally recognized. We've actually won awards across the nation with some of our programs. And it's fun to see the kids' excitement and the staff excitement and parents as well, you know, just seeing their kids be successful, not just here locally, not just in Washington State, but across the nation. So that's pretty exciting.
It is very exciting.
Yes.
Yeah, and I just thought, so the superintendent had some sessions, the soup with the SUP.
Yep.
And I thought that was really great. I actually attended one of them. And to me, it's like this, you know, really emphasizes it's not a new tax, right?
Right.
This is a continuation. There wasn't an increase. It's, far as I know, my research is the lowest. When I got my voter's pamphlets, lowest, lower than the area I live in. So it seems realistic, very realistic. And to be able to encourage our communities, it's spoken when we've had some listening sessions of some community outreach events. An SRO position is something very important to the public. And we, Mr. Porter and I, and the boards, and my council, and mayor, you know, it's not just us. We're kind of the people making it happen. But we are trying to be the first in our county to establish an SRO program.
Yeah.
And we're excited about that. You know, I kind of look at, you know, my great-grandmother was a school teacher in OMAC, a pioneer school teacher. The school I went to school in OMAC, these are the things that make school, it's a quality of life issue, right? Not just the subjects, you need those things, but what can you do and what can you leverage? And then just to me, the, you know, like you said, Brian, the for $1.75 per thousand to get $10 million in return, that is just, it, like, how can we walk away from that as a community and not support our schools? I know I voted yes, and so I'm hoping that the public will vote yes and support the EPNO levy.
Talk a little bit about, either one of you, about the SRO position, because you've got more than one, you know, plant, more than one building.
Right.
So how will it work initially?
Yes. Yeah, so what we believe will happen, you know, so there's some great information out there. Honestly, Douglas County and East Wenatchee area is doing some great stuff. Mr. Porter sent me a video. One of my office staff members is friends with the officer who's one of the SROs. So we're kind of looking at how is it successful in other places. And I foresee a lot of the focus on the position being at the middle school level, right? That's just where we have that transitional phase. But that person will rotate between the schools. That's something we're going to have to figure out, like what best. But basically, you're building, again, we had an off-radio conversation about building relationships.
Yes.
And what the SRO is really about is building relationships,
yes.
creating a person of trust in the community that the kids can come to, share information with. It's not to be a disciplinarian in the school.
Right.
It's not to be somebody that's, you know, really to be intimidating. But having a presence there is great. And even we were talking about, I joked with the school about make their office in the school the best, right? The coolest, fanciest office, because then you'll get the other officers that want to come use the office. And so we were kind of joking about that and how, so encouraging us to be at the school
right.
with the drive, with the numbers. I wish I could say we could be there every moment, all day long, and do it. So the dedicated funding also, when you have dedicated funding, it allows you to dedicate purpose. When we have generalized funding, you have to generalize purpose. So I'm just excited that the school, Mr. Porter and I have met, where, I mean, I, you know, again, we're not the ultimate deciders,
right.
But I believe we're there. We're close, and I'm excited for it. So, and this guy's always exciting, so I need to get him like every morning because I feel so grumpy walking around him.
So you're going to have this interactive gaming office and kind of like thing,
right,
you know, to
right.
bring the kids in. And, yeah, that'd be kind of
well,
fun.
Like the chief said, you know, it's really about relationships.
Yeah,
and you know, students are not going to learn if they don't have a relationship, if they don't have a connection. And I know that our schools have really been intentional. I have watched our middle school the past couple of years have made more and more progress on developing, being intentional about the relationships. They've always tried, but it's been really specific. And an example I believe I shared earlier, but it's worth sharing again, is that one of the early staff meetings that I attended for this school year is the staff had a list of every student's name that they put down. And they took about 10 minutes of taking a little sticker and putting it next to the kids who they, oh, I know who that kid is, or I know that kid. And so they had all these stickers down, and it was great because at the end of that process, they looked up there and they could see a lot of kids had multiple stickers that they were known by many people. But there was a handful of students that had no stickers. And what that told them was, we need to reach out. We need to make sure we're intentional about building a relationship with these children. And so they did. They took turns assigning themselves, and then they followed up since then with sending out postcards. And so every staff meeting, they'll take a couple of minutes at the beginning, they'll grab a list of kids' names, and they'll just spend the first 5 minutes of a staff meeting writing, hey, just wanted to let you know, saw your student today in the hallway, and he was being really respectful. Or, you know, she was reaching out and helping a friend. It just those little things like that are building those relationships. And it seems so simple, and yet it's so important because we all remember middle school and how sometimes we felt kind of lost and confused. And who am I going to be when I grow up? And what, you know, what direction am I going to head? Who are going to be my friends? And so you have to have those connection pieces. And so having, you know, we focus on the safety. Absolutely. That's a really important thing that we've used this these levy dollars for the past couple of years with cameras. We've added additional cameras on the outside of our buildings and through our hallways. We've also provided additional gates and fences around our campuses. Our security access to get in the buildings has been improved with our swipe cards. And so we've made progress with that because we want not just students to be safe, but to feel safe. And there is a difference with that. Mm-hmm. We want them to feel safe by being connected with people and looking forward. And that's where it's a big, huge, massive pieces that like a giant puzzle that all comes together. And so you have to have the physical plant, you know, being safe,
sure.
But you also have to be intentional about building those relationships, reaching out to students, and having the extracurricular activities that they enjoy participating in, which again, this is what these dollars are used for. And I've said it before, we are not perfect. We know that. We know that we have room to improve. But what I'm excited about is that we are constantly seeing improvement. I feel like we are a good school system. I want to be a great school system. And so we have a vision. We talk about it on a regular basis with our admin, with our staff about this is where we're going. We came up with a strategic plan this last year, and basically that's just kind of a roadmap. And our ultimate vision is where the OMAC school district is where our students thrive. And so we're putting more and more of the pieces of that puzzle together. We know we still have a few little gaps, but this levy can help us to continue to fill in those gaps and to continue to make the progress we make.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about it. Yeah.
Well, and I just, you know, so something that, you know, most people might not realize is this is one of the safest places for these kids to come to.
Right.
Their home environment,
yes.
You know, from what we do, we see behind the curtain. Sometimes this is the only place where they're going to get a meal,
right.
Where they're going to be actually safe. They're probably as safe as they possibly could ever be in any other place.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, we talked earlier about, but Maslow's, you know, kind of hierarchy of needs. When you've met those needs and safety and security and belonging and all that is, then you have that self-actualization. And so in my mind, this funding is that gives those extra things that help establish that the environment for self-actualization.
Right, right. It's true.
And so that's just, you know, the school is doing great things. Yeah. And, you know, I can't express enough like how it just to me, it's like again, it's not a new tax. It's
right.
A continuation.
Yep.
There's not an ask for more.
Right.
And so it's just I hope that, yeah, I just think you're doing good things. And our kids, I know they're much, much safer there
right.
and have that.
Right.
with all the different programs.
Right. I totally agree. One of the things that I have also shared is that aside from just the relationships, how do you build relationships? One way is through communication.
Yeah.
And it's through dialogue. You know, the radio we know is more of a monologue, but it's a first step is mm-hmm. to be able to get the information out there. And every year, you know, I have to set goals with my school board, and we sit down usually in August trying to map out, okay, what do we want Michael to focus on, you know, for the schools this year? And every year I'm insistent, and they agree with me, that communication is one of my goals. So I've tried each year, this is my fourth year, I've tried each year to try something just a little bit different in a way to communicate with people. I love coming on the radio. It's a lot of fun getting to share, you know, what's happening. But I also have done different little webinars. I've done live webinars before. I've done this, the soup with the soup that I've done. I did try that. Again, some of them, they have measured success. Some of them are great. Some of them are not so great. I've recorded myself, you know, tried to do Monday messages. Oh, that was a lot of work. Coming in every Sunday to do a Monday message recording myself. And sometimes I had to record myself like 15 times because I would make a mistake right at the last second. But those are all good ways to communicate. But they're never perfect. There's always better ways to improve. So what I'm trying to do is just to reach out in unique ways and connect with people.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things I do notice with you, as opposed to maybe some of your predecessors, is that you are intentionally visible.
Right.
At
right.
school events, yep. activities, and I have a hard time keeping track of where you're sitting because you bounce around a lot.
I do.
And I know why you do that.
Yeah.
Because it's all about intentionality. I know when I was a church camp director, I told my counselors, you are more effective working with your campers if you know their name.
Right. Right.
And a little bit about them.
Yep.
You know, make that connection.
Right, it is
then
true.
Because you're talking about the kids that didn't have any stickers.
Right, right? Yeah.
Those are those under-the-radar kids.
That's true.
They're great kids, who knows?
Right.
But they're not excelling, per se.
Right.
Maybe not athletes, per se.
Right.
And they're not getting in trouble.
Right.
They're just under-the-radar, so they get kind of...
Yep.
They're easy to ignore.
Right.
But those are the ones who
yeah.
need to be intentionally
yep.
connected with. And so
it's true. And I do enjoy going to the games. I try to go to games and after school activities, you know, as much as possible. Often I have a lot of meetings. There's a lot of things that get in the way. So I try to, when I can, to get to the events. But I love it. I love doing that.
I'm going to interrupt you. Okay. We got to get back on task here.
Okay.
Talk a little bit about this, the balance between, because there are some people out there that
yes.
think, listen, our schools need to focus more on the basics.
Yes.
We're too busy being, you know, nursemaids,
right.
daycare.
Yep, yep.
But then there are people that say our schools need to offer more
right.
for all. So mm-hmm. how do you balance that, and how will this EPNO levy help yep. you balance that?
Yep, that's a great question, and it is important that we find a balance, because we absolutely, reading, writing, arithmetic, you know, we know those are the core foundational pieces.
Yeah.
So the EPNO levy helps to make sure we have the quality curriculum that we need to address students' needs. And again, there has been controversy across the country with different types of curriculum saying, whoa, it's going down this path, or it's trying to push an agenda of one kind or another.
Right.
We are very intentional in Omak School District of making sure it is neutral, that
right.
we don't have a hidden agenda. And that's why it's very much an open book. Anybody can come in and look.
Yeah.
And as we are going through the adoption process, we make sure that we have it at least for a month. We introduce it to the school board saying, we've spent a whole year studying this. We followed these protocols to make sure that we were looking, that there was no bias, there was nothing that was hidden in there. And then we have it open to the public. They can stop by and look at it and provide any comments that they see. And we've had people do that, and we love it. It's great when people come and look at our curriculum.
Okay.
Because we want people to understand we're getting the top-notch curriculum. So that's step one. Step two is making sure our teachers understand how to utilize that curriculum. Because again, they have to have a balance too of trying to engage kids and keep them interested, but also making sure they're getting the foundational pieces of what they need for reading. And to do that, we've provided the funding helps to provide for instructional coaches. We have instructional coaches at North and at East and at middle school. Those instructional coaches really focus on kids who are struggling and the kids who are really excelling. They try to make sure that when kids are falling through the gaps, that those needs are being met. You have to find where those holes are. And that's where the assessment part comes in, that we're like, okay, we have some kids who are really not getting it. What are we going to do? And so the instructional coaches help support the teachers, and they provide that additional support for students. So the levy helps to support that as well. And then, of course, that real big hook is the extracurricular activities that the levy helps to support, which is the after-school activities, helping kids to want to come to do their best. Because with athletics and the other activities, you have to have certain grades. You can't be failing your classes and still get to participate. Yeah. So there's that little bit of that motivation to do their best.
Right. Yeah. Okay. How can, besides just the the ballot box, you know, how can the public affect what's going on curriculum-wise, what's being offered? Because one thing that I'm hearing countywide,
right,
as in my travels, is why isn't there more intentionality with teaching kids personal finance and why, you know, home ec and basic living skills and things that we had when we were and we've talked about this before. It has to do with interest and dollars and the whole bit. So
it does. Okay. Yes. Yeah. There's definitely some challenges. The kids have to have an interest. And I want to express just what happened. I think it was last Friday. The high school had what was called an electives fair, and they broke up the day into 15-minute increments, and 8th graders came up to the high school, so it was 8th through 11th grade, and they got to experience 9 different interests that they said, you know what, I might be interested in welding, or I might be interested in theater, or I might be interested in the foods program. They got to go and hear a 15-minute presentation to learn what was taking place in those classes to see if that's something they're interested in. So step one is just showing them, this is what's available. You can go to woodshop and look what you can do. Look at all these great things you can do in welding or in art or in music. This is the fun things we get to do. So they have to be exposed to it. And we actually start that down in middle school is when we start exposing kids to different careers. And you and I have talked about this before, it's not just college. It has to be all these other careers that you can make more money than even going to college. You're not going in debt, and you're coming out, you're being a plumber, you're being an electrician, you're being a craftsman. You're building things with your hands, and you can actually make more money without starting in the hole. So there's a lot of opportunities for kids. They just need to know, not just hear that, oh, college.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to do that exposure for them so that they are aware of, this is the opportunities that are out there, and this can be your life if that's what your interests are.
Okay, I have to take your batteries out.
Okay. And,
kind of like C-3PO. I got to kind of turn you, take you offline for a moment, because we're almost out of time. So vote.
Yes, please.
Ballots are out.
Yep.
They're out.
Yep. By February 13th.
So questions, go to the school website, call the district office.
Yes.
And they're happy to answer all your questions.
Absolutely.
And if you have any questions about the potential SRO with the partnership with the police, of course, give Chief Christensen a call, and he'd be happy to talk to you about that too.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Gentlemen, thank you both for being here.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you, you too.